Welcome everybody, this is the Office 365 Developer Patterns and Practices webcast, and this week we're going to talk about Azure Active Directory and more specifically what's actually the purpose of that one and why is it meaningful for SharePoint developers or Office 365 developers. So what do you need to actually know about Azure Active Directory and why you should actually know about that? My name is Vesa Juvonen. I'm a senior program manager in Office 365 Engineering. And today's, or this week's, person leading the presentation is Radi Atanasov. And Radi is going to do his own presentations. And I'll be then asking questions all through the show as well. Radi, please take it away.
Thank you, Vesa. Thank you, and welcome to everyone. Thank you for choosing this webcast. Hopefully, you'll find it interesting. Azure Active Directory is fantastic and awesome, and I believe that every SharePoint developer should, in one way or another, cross paths with it, dig into it, and understand what it does in the background for us, because it does fantastic stuff for us. So let's kick in and see what it's all about. Our agenda for the webcast is an overview, quickly, of what it is. Some discussion on what it means for the enterprise and what it could mean for you as an enterprise developer. And last point is how Azure AD and Office 365 play together and what the connecting points are. So let's dig into it. First, what it is basically an Active Directory instance in the Azure cloud. It is a multi-tenant instance, so every user can basically, or every organization can use it to store their users, their groups, their Active Directory objects. Everything is entirely offloaded to the cloud, so you don't need to worry about AD on-premises. You might choose to use Azure Active Directory Synchronization to synchronize your on-premises directory with your cloud directory, so you can use all your existing users and have them access, authenticate, and provide identity through Azure AD and essentially access other services. Azure AD is much more modern than on-premises AD. On-premises, we typically use LDAP to authenticate, and in the .NET space, we use directory searcher objects and the Active Directory namespaces there to interrogate and get stuff out of Active Directory over the LDAP protocol. In the cloud, we're naturally going to authenticate using HTTP-based authentication protocols. So Azure AD supports SAMLP, WSFed, OAuth derivatives. It's got a metadata exchange point, so applications such as Visual Studio know how to deploy applications that integrate with Azure Active Directory.
Now, on that one, Radi, just out of curiosity, so for SharePoint and Office 365 developers, we mainly still concentrate on the OAuth, right? So that's the model, yes. Or what do we actually use from this set of capabilities?
Yes, so from a pure SharePoint perspective, SharePoint, I believe it was actually the first Microsoft server product that implemented OAuth authentication mechanisms baked into the product. So SharePoint used OAuth for predominantly to enable the app model to work. And Microsoft also built something called the server-to-server authentication protocol, which is an OAuth 2 derivative. It's a custom implementation based on OAuth, not exactly per OAuth standards, but we use server-to-server authentication, we still do, when we need to authenticate between two on-premises applications by exchanging symmetric keys or certificates. For example, SharePoint on-premises, extracting or writing data to Exchange or to maybe Link or to other servers that support server-to-server authentication. And some apps could choose to use server-to-server authentication. So coming to the online space now, let's just call it the next wave, the online scenario naturally uses ACS, SharePoint apps capability and all the other services that Azure Office 365 can offer. Basically, the OAuth 2 protocol lets us do communication between all of those platforms. So from a SharePoint developer perspective, we use OAuth under the scene And I'm sure many would be familiar with client IDs and client secrets that we need to store in our apps when we need to authenticate. If, for example, in the old days, before Azure AD and before things like OpenID Connect, we had to use multiple client IDs and secrets in a single app to access Exchange, SharePoint, and maybe Yammer, and maybe Facebook. Now with the next wave of technologies and maybe even the unified Office 365 API, we can use one set of those in order to extract data. But coming back to Azure AD, the key point here is that we have a directory in the cloud. We use modern HTTP-based authentication protocols and mechanisms to authenticate our applications. And the really cool part is that thing hanging on the right there, the Graph API, or as they recently announced, it will be finally called the Microsoft Graph and the Microsoft Graph API. This API, RESTful, OData payload-based, allows us to interrogate the directory. So get your users, get your groups, get memberships in groups, get your other directory objects, get custom profiles or custom attributes for users, and even not only get, but write back to Active Directory and manipulate it in really cool ways. For example, you can see what other applications a tenant has installed. Obviously, if your app has that permission, so maybe vendor A can see if vendor B has an application in the same tenant, if the app has appropriate permissions. Or maybe your app can see if users have assigned licenses for Exchange, P1, P2 licenses for Office 365, and all these different things that essentially the directory is entitled to. Another thing that the directory holds is mobile devices and all kinds of devices attached to this. The Graph API, I'm not quite sure if it supports it at the moment, but hopefully one day it will definitely support extracting device information from the directory. So that's what it is. And obviously, because it's cloud-based, it's a SaaS solution, software as a service solution. So we use the Azure Management Portal to manipulate the directory contents and whatever's in the directory. The only thing that's probably missing from this slide is also PowerShell capability, as with all Microsoft products these days.
Well, that's the icon right next to the management portal thingy, but yeah.
Oh, yeah, sorry, that's the PowerShell icon, yes.
Yeah.
Right.
No worries.
So what does that mean for an enterprise? Why would they consider Azure Active Directory, and what use cases would a business be interested in this? So the first benefit is that you can offload some of your Azure AD capability to the cloud. Azure AD, you can synchronize your on-premises users to the cloud using Azure AD Sync, the old Directory Sync tool, or DIR Sync. So you suddenly have this capability to use your on-premise user to access both on-premise data and Azure AD cloud-based data, which is very important for the cloud wave and organizations, enterprises move into hybrid cloud scenarios. So we would naturally need to think about single sign-on between the two premises, on-premises and cloud. The second huge use case is that between many different enterprise applications, we can achieve single sign-on because we externalize the authentication mechanism, and we essentially have insights and configuration control over the authorization aspect of identity and security. So many applications can be registered in Azure AD, whether they are just ASP.NET web applications or SharePoint sites or PHP sites. As long as they all use the same directory, we can very, very easily and quickly enable single sign-on scenarios between those applications. This is extremely important for enterprises, especially enterprises that have legacy Lotus Notes systems, IBM systems, SAP-based stuff, and Microsoft stuff, where true single sign-on between those systems is either extremely expensive, we're talking here in the hundreds of thousands, or extremely difficult to pull off scenarios. With Azure AD and all of the SDKs that are available around Azure AD, we literally offload all of that capability to Microsoft and to the built SDKs. So my third point here is that Azure AD is OAuth and REST-based. Those are predominantly the technologies that we use to interrogate it with. So we can use any developer platform to achieve authentication, persist cookies, and essentially enable single sign-on between different platforms, different technologies. If we actually look at the Azure AD samples in GitHub that are open sourced, there's an SDK and a sample for every platform, for Ruby, for Node.js, for Android, for iOS, for Java, of course for .NET. There's so many different samples and examples that are uploaded in GitHub under the Azure AD-samples repositories that it's fantastic to see how easy it is to actually build this stuff today. The last point that I have here is maybe you're using ASP.NET and maybe you're using the old forms authentication membership libraries, or maybe you're using ASP.NET Identity, the newer wave of identity, so version 1, version 2, and now version 3. ASP.NET Identity is great. It plugs in very well into the MVC pipeline, the OWIN middleware. It has its own database and it's all plumbing for you to do user storage and user management and all those things. If you choose to not use that and to not worry about user databases provision the forms authentication or ASP.NET Identity middleware and just worry about that in your code, you can literally just use Azure AD in the cloud to authenticate your enterprise-based web application. So it's a really good option for just not having to worry about user store, user accounts, user passwords. Really strong scenario against forms authentication and the membership providers is that you deploy one application, then you deploy another and another. All of them have different user accounts, so you can't really do true identity management and password resetting for all users. With Azure AD, you can use your Windows authentication, on-premises Windows AD accounts to access cloud resources and then propagate to all different MVC or ASP.NET based applications. There's literally tons of cool scenarios possible there. Okay, so next point is, what does all this mean for the SharePoint developer, the SharePoint online / Office 365 developer? Well, maybe you have heard or you haven't that every Office 365 tenant has an Azure Active Directory instance running in Azure in the background. In the old days, that was not visible. Then it was only visible with subscriptions. And I think now you can create a completely free subscription and still see your Office 365 Azure AD instance in the background. If we look at the users in both interfaces, so maybe we're looking at the Office 365 tenant admin interface, we can see the same users as if we go through the Azure management portals. The next part that's interesting in this topic is that when you register a SharePoint app, a SharePoint add-in, it actually gets enrolled into Azure AD. It gets created as an Azure AD application. So naturally, that proves the point that all SharePoint provider-hosted applications are Azure AD applications with appropriate permissions and references in the SharePoint domain to access data.
True. On that particular topic, obviously, there is still a clear difference on if you're doing a classic app rec new ASPX you create the client data in a secret, rather than going to the Azure AD portal and creating a client ID in a secret. But we'll have a look on that one during the demo, right?
Yes, that's right. Yes. So what this potentially means is that we can use the Azure Active Directory instance behind the Office 365 tenant to do various cool things with users and groups and identities. The first thing that we can do is in Azure AD, we can authorize our SharePoint app to access other tenant data, or to we would essentially consume the APIs and control the permission to those APIs through Azure AD. And this is the typical use case scenario if you have a SharePoint app that maybe needs to access as well Azure Active Directory user properties, or needs to access maybe Exchange mail or calendar data. This is how you'll typically achieve that scenario. The other thing that has hit us as a team is SharePoint user profiles, and what you can get from SharePoint user profiles in terms of data about the user in Office 365 is very limited. It has about 30-40 properties which you cannot change. In a SharePoint on-premises scenario, you could just extend the profile properties and put whatever data you want, but online you can't really do that. So maybe you need to understand if the user has an E1 or E3 license. Maybe you need to understand if the user is enrolled in a particular Active Directory group, because SharePoint can't see that information. Maybe you need to understand the country of the user, which doesn't actually exist in the user profile in SharePoint. Azure AD has so much more information about users, groups, Active Directory objects, and the relationships between them that it allows us and enables us to build much more business cases. And the last point here is that SharePoint apps would use Azure Active Directory through the Graph API, and that's why we'll use this in our samples. So in short, it enables us business cases and possibilities. It enables us to deliver much richer functionality than what we can do with just Office 365 and SharePoint APIs alone.
One comment what I wanted to, just thinking out loud, thinking at the previous slide as well, where we talk about the classic ASP.NET and the Azure AD synchronization, and then comparing that to the SharePoint, quite typically SharePoint developers, there's a lot of SharePoint developers who have never done this. So what's a good thing about the fact that now even SharePoint and Office 365 starts using the Azure AD as the authentication model is that we align, we consolidate to a single model. Which means that now if you are a SharePoint developer and you haven't actually done an ASP.NET development or some other, let's say, approaches on the development, the models are aligned. They're exactly the same in the future. When you learn to do the Azure AD in the SharePoint, it's exactly the same thing for other applications as well.
That's right. And where let's say, development trends come into play is maybe you would like to build your SharePoint online application with single-page application frameworks and JavaScript client-side applications. Azure AD lets you authenticate with JavaScript only, and it has a model and a flow called the implicit grant flow in order to authenticate those applications, which is becoming an increasing trend with SharePoint add-ins. We start using much more JavaScript in order to build them, and we use techniques to inject JavaScript, for example, when building intranets in Office 365. So definitely Unity there, definitely a smack in the head when it comes to changing technology. So lots of exciting sort of stuff.
Absolutely, absolutely. Let's go and see this in practice, right? Are we already at that point?
Yeah, so we will show a demo now on some of the core Azure AD libraries in an MVC example.
Sounds good.
Okay, so I've jumped into Visual Studio, and here I have an ASP.NET 4.5 MVC-based application. One of the first things I've done is added the Microsoft Identity Model Client's Active Directory Client Library, which will pull together a few other components just using the NuGet package. I've added the Microsoft Azure Active Directory Graph Client. This is the Graph API. I'm here using version 2.1.0, which I believe is the latest at the time of the recording of this video. And I'm using version 2.14 of the Active Directory Client Library. It's now, because of ASP.NET 5, it's crossed version 3.0 and above. But pulling these two should get you going. So In this sample application, which it will be in the PNP repository, the samples repository, there's some plumbing involved to get things going. One is the startup authorization configuration. There's elements of code here to configure the extraction of the token and essentially store that token between user sessions. We're using OpenID Connect on top of OAuth2 in order to do the authentication and get the access token to get data from Active Directory. In this particular sample, I will basically look at all of the groups in our Azure AD instance, and then I will get all the members in groups. This particular scenario is useful for SharePoint developers when, for example, you need your application to see if a user is in an Active Directory group. It might be valuable for scenarios such as workflow when you want to email or you want to get the actual users in a nested SharePoint AD group or an AD group nested into SharePoint, where SharePoint does not have permission to check whether users are part of that group. So maybe you can use this scenario in some of those business cases. I have a simple controller, groups controller, and in my index method, so when I access the view, it will get called out. I have a simple view model that stores basically a list of the groups. I'm creating an instance of the Azure Active Directory client, which is the object that the Graph API uses. I've got a helper method here to create an instance of that client and essentially assign the access token to it that we use in the startup authorization file when the user logs in for the first time. Further to that, we're using pure Graph API client SDK objects. For example, I'm getting from the client, I'm getting a list of groups. I'm calling them asynchronously into a interface page collection, iPage collection object of my group. So we're programming just the interfaces here to be to develop in an abstract way. It's doing a do while iteration. We're getting pages by pages of the results and adding it to basically a list in my view model. I will use this view model later in the view in order to display all the found groups. So let's have a look at this example, how it works in practice. I'll start the application. One of the first things that I'll need to do is access the home page of the application. Depending on whether the home controller is authenticated or allows anonymous, it'll either show the home page or take me straight to Azure Directory like it's doing now for me to log on. So I've hit the home page. It's not public. It requires authorization. So I'm being taken to this. I'm going to log in with my account. And I'll use Azure AD, it'll perform the logon, and it'll return back an ID token, an OpenID Connect ID token, back to the calling web application. And I will use that token to, further in the code, get an access token to interrogate Azure AD data. You will see that I'm now logged in as a user. I'll quickly sign out to show the sign out experience. We've signed out of Azure AD and now we're being taken back to the web application. Because I'm accessing a URL that is authorized, the application is taking me all the way back to Azure AD for me to authenticate. And you can see the URL has lots of interesting information here. Here it's asking me to sign in and then taking me back to the application. I've logged in again. So, that is the typical sign-in user experience that end users will see if they're using this application. If I had two or three or four applications side by side and they all use the same Azure AD instance, I would naturally have single sign-on capabilities that I can build through them in a very easy way. If we have a proper look at Azure Active Directory, here I have logged into my Azure subscription, and the only thing that you can see here under all items is the directory that's standing behind Office 365. If we go to Office 365, portal office365.com, and I use my Office 365 tenant administrator account, which in this case is a different user account, and I go to our groups and users. I will see a bunch of users that we have in our Active Directory instance. If I look at the Azure AD from the Azure Management Portal, I'll see exactly the same users as I see here. So it's the same directory and it literally is the same instance. If we look at the groups, we'll see the groups. And if we look at applications, we can see all applications that are registered in Azure AD. So when, if we're coming back to our application, our application is registered. It is this one here called Graph API Azure Demo. It is basically registered with Azure AD, and that is how Azure AD authorizes that application. In the web config file, you'll find certain configuration elements like the client ID, an application key, the tenant authentication URL that allows this particular deployment to authenticate exactly with Azure in order to achieve a secure login experience. So let's have a look at the execution of this particular code. I believe I'm using Edge, so I'll go to the groups view and the groups controller. In the background, the groups controller will execute that index method, build the Active Directory client API, reach out to Azure AD, get the data, and here it is. These are the IDs of the groups. These are the display names of the groups. I don't have descriptions in my Azure AD groups, and that's why this field is blank. So further to that, if I click on one of the groups, I've got further code in the sample that would get that group by ID and get the members of that group, do another iPage collection of iUser objects, and essentially present them in the view. So these groups have different set of users, and obviously all employees, executives, and so on. So this is a really simple example of interrogating Active Directory using the client and the objects that it allows, and using authentication that is baked in the identity model namespace. So Microsoft Identity Model Clients Active Directory lets us do basically authentication mechanisms. You can choose to use OpenID Connect. You can use OAuth2 Secrets and be more natural. You can do various different authentication mechanisms in order to do that. Please have a review at my sample and see all of the moving parts and how it works together.
And I hope really, you enjoy this. Sorry, Roddy, really quickly on the startup still, that's a really good point what you said, that there's multiple different options, but typically whenever you start using a certain option, the plumbing part is exactly the same, right? So you as a developer, if you really want to get started on understanding the API level of the graph, you don't need to worry about the OAuth as such. You can just copy paste the basic structure and the plumbing and start using it as it is.
That's exactly correct. So you literally set up authentication once in your application, and you don't worry about it. From that point onwards, you just develop against the API and the client object, and that's all you need to do.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Cool. Let's move back on the slides and do a quick wrap up on the sessions.
Okay, let's do that.
Yay!
There we go.
I'll do that. Well, that's a really easy fix to do, so no, don't worry about it. Excellent, great demo already on the Azure Active Directory stuff. And it's good to see, and that the demo actually showed really nicely the reason why it's an important that the developers need to know about the Azure AD, because that's where you do the development time, you're doing the testing of the permissions and all of that in Azure AD as well. So it's a really important thing to really realize. But I think it's actually time to wrap up the session. So anything you want to summarize on the presentation, Ruddy?
Yes, so thanks for having me. It was great. I hope everyone enjoyed. So every SharePoint developer should really spend their weekend examining what Azure AD teams are doing on GitHub, as well as the ASP.NET identity teams, because all of those things cross to us. And I'll be available to receive questions on the Office Dev PMP Yammer group. So feel free to ask anything you need to know.
Thanks, Harley. That's a good reminder. The AKMS Office Dev PMP Yammer is the right place for the questions. Please do not send us direct emails, because we can't keep up on the incoming inbox numbers. But anyway, thanks for joining. And I think it's wrapping up time to wrap up the session. Thanks, Harley, for doing the thing. And we'll see if we'll probably come up with we'll have another session with Harley at some point on some new topic.
Definitely.
Thank you, everybody, for joining.
Thank you. Hope you enjoyed.